The Old Rogue by John Grinrod. Two teas, one full English, one sausage sandwich on brown, red sauce. I smiled at the workman in the window seat and scribbled a note for Dino in the kitchen.
Oi, mate, can you make that on white?
And a big breakfast instead of the full English.
I nodded, turned my back to them and slashed my pen through the note. Cretins. This is my empire. The Old Rogue Cafe. Catford. London. England. The Earth. The Solar System. The Milky Way. The Universe. That's how the kids who come in here to do their own work write their addresses on the front of their exercise books. I can understand their dreams, can see their frustration at having to live out their span, trapped on this irrelevant speck of a planet. But for this state of affairs, they have no one to blame but themselves. Their kind have made this world the trivial backwater it is today. And today is the very worst sort of day, I realise, when I hear that sound outside the cafe, grating and alien. The sound of doom. Katia noticed I was getting restless behind the counter, peering out the window, trying to catch sight of it, of them, of him.
Is it the window cleaner?
She asked, patting my shoulder.
No, it's nothing.
I've never come clean to her about all this. It's not easy in a cafe in Catford for me to open up. They don't understand these creatures. Katia is kind, but that's the worst of it. She pats me like I'm an idiot, a frail old fool who needs comforting, like a dog. I should have her killed.
There,
she says to me, doing it again, her hand on mine. Stupid woman. I almost want to tell her to let her know who she's dealing with, not Sid and his failing cafe business. Oh, no. Watch her face as she tries to take it all in and then kill her. That would cheer me up. Not that I can even so much as maim these days. Something in me has been compromised. I look at her and smile. She smiles back. Though her hair is so tightly scrunched, I wonder if it's actually a grimace of pain. Then the bell on the door goes, and I know it's him. 10 years back, he was an exasperated cricketer with a troop of sulky teenagers. 20 in, he was a tall, bossy chap in velvet with a dizzy dolly bird. Every 10 years a visit, you get the picture? His friends all look disappointed when they see the place. It's not good enough for them. Oh, no. Not a Starliner or a Ringworld or a Heathrow bloody airport. This time, he's a lunatic. Posh woman in tow. Robot dog. Bold as brass on Catford Broadway. Got his scarf tangled in the door, playing the fool as usual.
Is this him?
Asked the posh woman, giving me the once-over with an unimpressed look on her face.
Danger, mistress. Sensors detect extraterrestrial life form.
Shouted the dog. The workman gave it a dirty look.
Danger, canine?
Bellowed the lunatic from the doorway.
Nonsense, I'd say, wouldn't you, Romana? Yes, nonsense. Ah, patron, would you be so kind as to bring us three teas, Sid? Thank you very much. You know, I think he's put on a bit of weight. Isn't this place delightful? Make mine two sugars.
Delightful, she drawled.
Needs a lick of paint, of course, but then so does the TARDIS. Actually, canine's not drinking. Better make that two teas.
He beamed at me.
Eating in or taking out?
I asked. Never show them you're afraid. That's the first rule of galactic empire building.
Unfortunately, I think we'll be staying,
said the posh woman, looking round my cafe and wrinkling her nose in disgust.
Quite right, Romana.
The lunatic threw himself into one of the plastic chairs and rested his feet on the table opposite. That caused some tutting among my regulars, and let me tell you. The woman joined him. The dog got stuck in the aisle.
No dogs allowed,
I said.
No dogs allowed. No dogs allowed. Quite right. Filthy beasts. Canine, outside.
Master.
It replied and reversed out. I could see it on the pavement sat by the bollard. Kids and teenagers kept stopping and laughing at it. I saw someone key it. Another got out a spray can. I plonked their teas down on the table. The woman stared into the mug suspiciously.
Are you sure this is tea?
She asked me. His friends are always like this. Sarcastic, questioning, sceptical.
Come now, Romana, this is English breakfast. It's meant to eat through the mug right down to the melamine. Isn't that so, Sid? Isn't that a pastry I see before me? Two Chelsea buns, please, and make them sticky.
The lunatic never seemed to pause for breath. As I turned my back, I heard the woman whisper,
Are you sure this is the right man, Doctor? He seems terribly seedy for a galactic emperor.
Well, he's fallen on hard times, hasn't he? Isn't that right, Harkonnen?
I span round, Chelsea buns in hand.
That is not my name,
I hissed. Katia was behind the counter, looking far too interested. I turned and laughed at her, rolled my eyes.
Customers.
I turned back and slammed the plates down on the table. Tea bounced out of their cups and all over them.
Well, whoever you are, you need to learn basic customer service skills,
the posh woman said.
Steady, Romana. Harkonnen doesn't get much chance to rub shoulders with old friends these days. How are you finding Catford, Harkonnen? Brought the property prices down, I expect. And I'm glad to see you haven't let Sid's business go to the dogs.
Dig, dig, dig. He's always the same. Wind-up merchant, as Dino would say. I glanced out the window. Five lads were kicking a football against their robot dog. I joined the lunatic and his friend at their table to avoid a scene.
Business has never been better,
I said. The posh woman was watching Jeremy Kyle on the screen behind me.
What is that ghastly spectacle?
She asked.
It's a primitive form of inquisition,
said the lunatic.
I met Torquemada once, you know, stretched my mind. The body too, come to think of it.
I suppose if you were on there,
said the posh woman, looking pointedly at me,
it would say, destroyed all sentient life in the Helix Nebula for kicks. Wants to be reunited with his original body.
The other visitors had been annoying, but these two were exceptionally killable.
Yes, very good,
said the lunatic.
Your body's getting on fine without you, Harkonnen, as is your empire. Sid has turned out to be the perfect ruler. Kind, benevolent, wise, wasted here, in fact, which just goes to show.
Goes to show what?
Asked the posh woman.
You know, I have no idea, Romana. Remind me to think about that later.
Does he know why we're here, or has his mind been wiped?
Oh, yes. He looks forward to his regular check-up, don't you, Harkonnen? Speaking of which, have you got the hang of dentists yet? Terrible people. I get canine to see to my teeth. He's rather good with, well, canines, actually.
I glanced out of the window again. The dog was now shooting laser bolts at terrified teenagers. Their football was on fire. Still, I refused to be drawn in.
I need to check the field moderator still works.
He whipped out a metal gadget and scanned the room.
Ah, yes. Tickety-boo. No signals in or out. Don't make them like that anymore.
How long has he been kept prisoner here?
Prisoner's a strong word, Romana. He's been a guest of Sid's body for 40 years, is it, Harkonnen?
My left eye was twitching slightly. They smirked at each other. I took a deep breath. Don't give them the satisfaction.
Of course, the human lifespan is somewhat shorter than an Amalkan's, isn't it?
Asked the posh woman.
Can't have long left.
The lunatic nodded. Before I could stop myself, I was banging the table with fury.
You come here talking about me like I'm some kind of lab rat. This is a disgrace. Don't even think about it, Harkonnen.
He snapped. And suddenly all the lightness was gone.
The torture and execution of entire solar systems for your entertainment isn't something you can laugh off. You were one of the most despicable tyrants in the galaxy, collecting whole populations for your mantelpiece. You could have been imprisoned with all of the other insane dictators and murderers on one of the cruelty planets. So I'd say you got off lightly, wouldn't you? After all you've done?
After all I'd done? Yes, I could remember every detail in black and white. The starship, the throne room, the understanding device fired up. This miserable planet I'm living on now, in the focus beam, ready to be understood. The billions of pitiful creatures ready to be boiled down into a single crystal of pure entertainment like the others on the shelves around me. How I loved nature documentaries. And I remember, most of all, the little mop-topped tramp who had turned up to stop me. who was somehow also this current boggle-eyed loon, just as I was both Sid and Arcanon. Victim and victor.
"Don't touch that switch, Arcanon," the tramp had cried. "I thought you'd been ejected into space," I'd snarled back. I'd have to make a list of all the people to kill for that. "But no matter, you can witness my final triumph."
And before he could interfere any further, I fired the understanding device. But something was wrong. The whole planet should have erupted, but instead, a sharp, pinpoint beam fired down to the surface.
"What have you done? The lens! It zoomed in! Oh, crumbs!"
"What?" I scanned the readings.
"The entire planetary beam is focused on one creature, ripping him apart, atom by atom. You're doing..."
I swept down from the throne and jabbed a finger into his forehead.
"You will die for this."
But I hadn't noticed the other one. His friend.
"Jamie, no!"
I was tackled by a brawny youth who threw me in front of the beam. I screamed in agony. You have no idea of the pain. Every atom of my being was being bombarded. And when I awoke, I was here, trapped in this stinking cafe on this pointless planet, in a body that was not my own.
"Anyway, you weren't crystallised,"
said the posh woman.
"You're still here." "Yes, I am here. Here!"
I swept my arm round the cafe, stuffed my regulars. I could have wept.
"I reversed the polarity of the beam, Arcanon, but something wasn't right. Somehow your consciousness was swapped with the poor unfortunate who took the full force of it."
"Sid,"
said the posh woman.
"Indeed. Sid, once a humble cafe proprietor, now the honourable leader of a whole race of once debauched aggressors. They're working hard these days as the servants of galactic peace and goodwill. You should be proud, Arcanon. There are statues to you on hundreds of planets. He's rescued you."
Rescued me? Could he seriously mean that? While I was imprisoned on this redundant planet and some impertinent human was gadding around the universe in my body.
"The limits of this pathetic body and brain case mean that my thoughts are neutered," I whispered. "The field moderator is hardly necessary. I cannot escape. I am trapped by the limitations of this human shell, which can think only small thoughts."
"Gosh, he's a maudlin one,"
said the posh woman, stirring her full mug.
"I prefer a ranter."
"Self-pity,"
said the lunatic.
"This is the problem, Romana. He's mourning his own life, but not the billions he's boiled up into crystals."
"He's harmless enough now, though, isn't he?"
"Here? Oh, yes. No one can plan a rescue because they don't even know he's missing. To them, Arcanon is still the all-powerful ruler of the fleet, just one who's been in an unexpectedly good mood for the last 40 years.
"Judge, jury, an executioner. You're more of a tyrant than I ever was," I spat.
The posh woman pursed her lips.
"Ridiculous little man. Quite a third-class sort of dictator, Doctor."
"Yes, more of a footnote than a legend. But then perhaps being here is helping to rehabilitate him, don't you think? With these people?"
They looked around at my customers, who were by now all staring out of the window at the carnage inflicted by their robot dog.
"Oh no! K-9!
The posh woman jumped to her feet.
"Wait a moment, Romana,"
he hissed.
"This is of deadly importance."
"Why? What is it?"
"We haven't paid for our tea."
"It's on the house," I whispered, staring down at the half-eaten buns.
"You see, Romana, rehabilitation."
The lunatic abruptly jumped to his feet.
"There you go, back into your neutered void, Arcanon. See you in another decade."
I didn't wave.
"I can't say that you've civilized him,"
she sighed as they left.
"He's not even learned how to brew an acceptable pot of tea."
"Now, Paris, that was the place." "For tea? No. The French know nothing about tea, Romana."
"But what about
nothing?" "Hello, K-9? What's going on?"
Out of the cafe window, I saw the lunatic arguing with the posh woman and their now heavily graffitied robot dog. Around them lay the stunned bodies of a number of teenagers and a policeman. A police van lay on its side, smoking. Katia put her hand on my shoulders as I sat, staring into space.
"I will be fine," I murmured to her. She squeezed my shoulder. I found it oddly comforting.
Perhaps these human trash weren't all bad. In fact, the lunatic's visit had reminded me of one thing. Being a galactic emperor was awfully hard work. And the whole destroying planets thing they had made so much of, it was more of a hobby than a vocation. Yeah, I wasn't such a bad egg. After all, I'd made a go of Sid's cafe.
So it's true,
Katia whispered in my ear.
Arcanum, the real Arcanum. I have searched the galaxy for you, tortured thousands to find you.
I flinched. She placed the smoking remains of the field nebulizer on the table.
What? Yes, we are a band of mercenaries in search of expertise such as yours. A real dictator. You know what it feels like to kill billions? You can tell us. You can tell me. What does it feel like, Arcanum? Come with me. We can restore you to your rightful place. Just think. The galaxy will be yours again. An empire stretching across space. The sound of screaming reverberating to the ends of the universe.
For a long while I stared down into the posh woman's still full mug of tea. The droplets of grease spinning like a galaxy on the surface.
You have the wrong man, Katia.
I am Sid. This is my cafe.